Good morning, 8:09 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News, and joining us now we have Chief Deputy of the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office, Shane Tucker. Chief, welcome back to the show, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew. It's great to be with you again.
Hey, good to have you. Good to have you. Okay, I gotta, before we get into local events and things, I got a weird question to ask you.
Hit me with it.
Yeah. So, Florida has interesting pedestrian crosswalk laws, and my wife and I were having a bit of a disagreement yesterday while we were driving over into we're driving down Avalon. So we go east on I-10 and we go south on Avalon. And when you make the turn, it says continuous turn, and I think there is a green arrow there, if I'm not mistaken. I believe that it is. We'll pretend that there is. And there was a crosswalk. And so my wife said, you know, and I was like, well, that's weird. And she says, what? I said, well, there you have a crosswalk where the pedestrian is never going to have the right-of-way because you're always going to have the right-of-way as a car with a green arrow. And she says, I thought in Florida you always had to stop for a pedestrian. I'm like, not when you have a green light or a green arrow, and certainly not mid-block at a street. So my question for you is, when will the pedestrian ever have the right-of-way in that crosswalk, or maybe they won't ever?
You may have just stumped me, Andrew.
Nice.
Traffic is certainly not a forte of mine. Here's the way that I would roll with that until I get somebody a little bit more educated than I on that. If there is a pedestrian, I would allow them to go. I would revert back to the pedestrians have the right of way, just as a matter of safety. If he was trying to cross, I have to wonder how much foot traffic is actually there.
Sure.
I don't know. I avoid that area like the plague. But
right, wisely so.
And that's, I would err on the side of caution and allow the pedestrian to go.
All right. Well, and I can't disagree with the end result of that, because how else would a pedestrian ever safely be able to cross there when there is clearly a marked pedestrian? But I knew what I thought the law said. You know, being that you never don't have the right-of-way as a car on a green arrow, but you always have a green arrow. So anyway, I figured I'd ask the expert, and as you say, well, we found a little crevice, which is always
helpful. Quite a conundrum.
All right, so local stuff. Anything happen over the weekend that we don't already know about?
You know, Saturday morning, we had one of our deputies, probably about 1:30 in the morning, was in East Milton responding to a complaint of an impaired driver. And as he was there waiting for the driver, he was off the side of the road. He's parked on the side of the road watching, and said drunk driver came by and struck the deputy's patrol vehicle. Doing so much damage, hit him in the driver's door. The deputy actually had to get out the passenger side of the car. The drunk driver was able to make it about 500 feet and then crashed into a ditch. So the deputy crawled out his passenger side and went to help him.
Wow, and the driver, the deputy is okay, the driver's okay?
Both are okay. The FHP responded and did the DUI investigation and a crash investigation. Driver and suspect are both okay.
Good gravy. My goodness. I know this is a general question, but have you guys found anything really that works? Because my impression of drunk drivers is that people who drive drunk, they think they're okay, they think they're safe at it, they've gotten away with it in the past, and so they don't really think about it the way the rest of us do. Am I wrong, and have you figured out anything to solve it other than find them and take away their license and hope they obey that law?
You know, you're absolutely right. And it's been many years since I've been on the road actively enforcing DUIs, but I can remember even back then that a vast majority of the DUIs, even those with a significant BAC, felt like they were okay to drive at the time.
Yeah.
Alcohol, as you're probably well aware, does give you a false sense of security and a false sense of being in control, when in fact just the opposite is the case. You know, the only thing that we can do is just real strict and aggressive DUI enforcement, have people out there looking for them, and when we find them, to arrest them. I don't know that we're going to be able to do anything about the human nature and the effect that alcohol has on that, but what we can do is arrest every DUI driver that we can find.
Yeah, I mean, I of course I agree, and I'm just always looking for if there is a better answer to be had. I was curious if there might be one. You also had another weird story involving a car and a kid, and right? What happened here?
Oh, yeah. You know, our deputies responded to a report of a rolling disturbance. That's a disturbance that taking place between two vehicles as they're driving down the road. And the caller reported that one of the vehicles actually struck the other. When deputies responded and finally got the vehicle stopped on the side of the road, two of the subjects were physically fighting. They got on scene and took control. And as they did, they learned that the one vehicle was occupied by a man and his new girlfriend. The other was by the man's previous girlfriend and their three children. Apparently seeing her ex-fellow with another woman enraged her to the point that she struck the vehicle they were in and tried to block them in. So obviously she was charged with aggravated battery, battery and child endangerment, as well as reckless driving. But man, it's hard to wrap your mind around being so mad that you would put your children in that kind of position, over an ex-boyfriend.
Right. What happened to the kids? What happened to the kids?
I believe they were released to a relative.
That's what I think of immediately is, you know, they're obviously in a situation where somebody's not that stable to begin with, and then what's the better alternative for them? You know, if that's their norm, and I think about all these kids growing up in situations like that, and oh my God, wow. Okay.
That's a tough spot.
Yeah, wow. Well, you know, we talk about this periodically, but you guys run up against a lot of things that, you know, you do your part at the moment to do what the law requires, but living with the knowledge that there are such bigger issues ongoing that you just don't have the capacity to solve, right? I mean, that's something your officers deal with all the time, right?
You know, you're absolutely right. And both of the things that we talked about this morning, the DUI and the disturbance, I think you've hit the nail on the head. That really highlights the fact that what we're seeing out here at our level, we're seeing the end result. But the end result is of a larger and deeper problem. It's not something that we're going to solve, certainly not at the sheriff's office level. We can respond to crimes and deal with them, but the reason they're happening is very rarely something that we're going to be able to address.
Yeah, which is, I mean, I know that's frustrating as a police officer to see that, or a sheriff deputy to see that, but, you know, as you say, they're much bigger problems with much more complicated both causes and solutions than you're able to do in a, let's say, a traffic stop or a call out or something like that. Well, Shane Tucker, he is a chief deputy at the Santa Rosa County Sheriff's Office. Chief, thank you so much for the time this morning. As always, thanks for what your officers do. We appreciate it.
Thank you, Andrew. It's always a pleasure.